Your ATM is safe. Your banks are safe. There's enough cash in the financial system. And there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
Don't you?
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I hadn't been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you?
Arbitrage on this trend has been margin called.
Think you was a hook, just think your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks, hell of the same. Are they cooking the books? Save up a decade, now lost in a day. Now that the wind rocks is getting away. Bank of the bank, leave a ripple effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, inside the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big tippy net. Made from your savings and 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialize lust is why we've been the game. First to fall in the strip with sport. Cause you're just a pawn in the fertility industry.
Money talks and pay for the show. Pay for the cloud. Pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Thought the truth so we repeat our mistakes. Sell us a dream that never delivers. While raking fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from the mouthless bigots. Blindly supplying to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingle the risks that nobody knows. How far it'll go to a damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. When government capture is part of the play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. When bailouts are pawned and completed.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex. And fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economies are large GX.
What would happen if we take our money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the Godzilla defense with the will of free markets.
Give an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step two.
Move a savings in that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities move this way. With our own money, everything changed. We no longer positivity.
From the it's hard as I desire, earn it by work, earn it with time, earning a larger piece of pie, or of yours to verify. Money is not a pure one, when that's your scorn of politicians, coming and capturing part of the place, and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being sensitive. Move up from gambling savings. Move up from all the politics. Move on to the elevated
event. So we don't have to trust every word that they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can capture the chill of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's the game.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 123. 123, that has a nice ring to it. I am your host, Coleman, and I just want to say thank you for everybody waking up nice and early to be a part of this. I hope that everyone is staying warm. It is freezing out here, and I mean that literally down here in Southern Texas. I actually had to put a jacket on when I went outside to let the dogs. So I hope everybody is staying warm. You have your bone broth going. You have your coffee, your tea nice and hot. And everybody's doing okay. I saw a pretty interesting photo come out of Detroit. I guess they had an extremely large water main break 2 days ago. And then this Arctic front came through. And it so the water rose about 2-3 feet across one suburb in the city. And because of this Arctic freeze that came through, it froze the water at that height. So the cars are literally frozen up to about halfway up the cars. It's a crazy photo. I'll go ahead and post it up into the nest. But man, it's absolutely crazy. Cold weather. I'm ready for the weather to start heating up a little bit. not quite Texas heat in the summer, but just something where it's a little bit more enjoyable. But Bob and Shane, how are you guys doing in this cold weather?
Good morning, Coleman. Staying alive. It's very short lived in Texas, so we'll get through this just like everything else.
Yeah, go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, morning, guys. It's actually, we've got snow flurries up here in North Georgia right now. I'm looking at some of these pictures out of Detroit in the video. It's wild, to see that much water on the streets, all frozen, cars in place. Man, that is, it's not a good look for Detroit, but I guess Flint, their neighbor right up the road, still got, busted pipes and everything else. And yeah, well, Michigan's under great care up there with Gretchen Whitmire.
They're under the best care, aren't they? And then, where was Waltz from?
He's in Minnesota.
Pretty much the same state, right? They're, interchangeable.
Don't you dare. Minnesota and Michigan are not even remotely related.
Don't dox your home state.
Yeah, I gotta stick up for, at least the good Michiganders up there. I think most of them obviously people outside of Minneapolis and St. Paul are pretty based too. But no, just kind of watching these guys, go through this winter stuff. Real happy I'm living in the South these days.
Yeah, I do miss the seasons. We don't really have seasons down here in the South. We have summer. We have extremely hot summer, and then we have kind of a hot fall. But there's not really the change where you get the leaves coming and going with the seasons. It's very temporary. It's about 2 weeks, all the leaves fall, and then everything starts growing again. So that's about the thing I miss up north is just seeing that change kind of progressively, not all in just a couple of weeks. I don't really miss the snow, though. I don't really miss shoveling snow. That was never really fun to do. But good morning to everybody out there in the audience. I do want to say thank you for tuning in. Reminder, we do have that chat box down in the bottom right-hand corner. So if you have any questions or you just want to say hello, feel free to go ahead and utilize that. And again, open invitation for anybody that wants to come up here on the stage and talk. Again, we only have two rules, no shitcoining. And just be friendly to everybody. And that's pretty much it. So if you want to come up here, I'd love to hear from you. But I just want to say good morning. We have Hunter that just joined us. Death and Bitcoin and Petty. Good morning, ladies. IT Odie. Gen X Bitcoin. Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick's out at the conference in Denver. So look forward to picking his brain a little bit later. John. Vegas Bitcoin. Or is it Vegas HODL? Vegas HODL. I'm sorry. We have Nemo, Blake, Toasty, International, BitCat. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. So gentlemen, there's not a whole lot of news taking place outside of kind of what Doge is uncovering. And so I think I wanted to circle back and kind of go over there and spend a little bit more time and get your opinions on some of the things that have been brought to light. So we talked about it yesterday in the show about the Social Security fraud, about how many people over the age of 100 are still getting Social Security benefits. I did a quick little summary, so I'm pretty sure it's safe to say everybody over 110 is probably dead, and that's not really a real account. So everybody over the age of 110, there's 6,055,117 people still collecting Social Security benefits. The average benefit on an annual base was $23,000. So just with those 6 million and some change people, that's $370 billion in fraud being committed every single year just with Social Security, excluding everybody over the age of 110. So I know, Shane, you're fired up about this. So we can go ahead if you want to kind of take it off. But just are you surprised with what we're seeing, or you just let's get your thoughts on this?
Coleman, it's one of those things where I think there I think about this as an exercise in duality. You know, and I say that because there's so much happening, and the people, I think, of America are to the point where if there isn't something coming from the government in terms of, hey man, these sacrificial lambs, we've got to offer them up or we're going to have a full on revolution and we're all going to, you know, be departed, right? Like that's kind of where I think, you know, most of the politicians who have any brains at all are at. You know, so, I think Trump and the administration, you know, going out with Elon and digging through this massive amount of corruption and waste and abuse and all of these, you know, and really criminal activity is what we should be saying. I mean, these guys are literally criminals. At minimum, a lot of them need to be put in jail for life. There are treasonous activities. I think a lot of this, though, it could just be, you know, scapegoats, and I say scapegoats. I don't mean scapegoats like that. I think, like, there's going to be directives where you have certain people who are extremely misaligned, and easy to offer up to the public. I think those are going to be the people that they do, right? Like, but at the same time, we've seen all of this corruption. We know the system is absolutely, you know, riddled and really exists to be a collection of thieves, a collection of people who do very dark, deep, just satanic things. And I mean, we were talking about it the other night on the show is, you know, the American taxpayer has literally funded the largest human trafficking ring in the entire world. And so, you know, what I'm waiting for is the arrest. Where are the arrests? Where are the punishments? Where are, you know, where are these things? It's great that, you know, this is a start. I know we're only a month in, but I'm still very perplexed as to why we don't have more and more arrests of the people that we know have committed the largest crimes. I mean, literally, you know, responsible for the death and murder of millions and millions, and not just Americans, people around the world. So I'm waiting on bated breath, for the other shoe to drop, because if we don't have arrests and we don't have prosecutions and we don't have justice, then it's all for naught anyway.
I agree with you 100% with that, with everything you said, Shane. I'm not trying to give excuses why there haven't been arrests yet, but I think they know that if they were to put any kind of charges, the court system has been packed and rigged. And I think that's been pretty evident with, regardless how you feel about Trump, the political prosecution that took place, was extreme. It had no bias. It was just, or there was nothing done in fact. It was just all opinions, and I just don't like this guy, so we're going to throw everything in there. It doesn't matter. We'll make this stick. So I'm hoping that that's the reason why we haven't seen any charges brought forth yet, because we need to get rid of some of these, we need to get rid of some of these judges. I do think that. I think they need to go in there and physically remove them, get them out of there, and put new people in. I know that sets a crazy precedent if they can go ahead and do this with every administration. It's just going to swing back and forth. But if they were to bring up charges, I just don't see it sticking. I really don't. There'll be some kind of loophole. So Trump had mentioned earlier that he's trying to get rid of all the Biden-appointed justices and judges. So maybe after that, we'll see a little bit come through. But you're right. There has to be something. There has to be repercussion. Someone has to be held accountable for this. Otherwise, things are going to get pretty crazy, pretty quick.
Yeah, and if I can just say, I think, you know, at worst, as you guys are saying, it's fraud, right? And at best, it's a dereliction of duties, right? Like they've completely abandoned, if not fraud, they've abandoned their obligations to really be, you know, I think about it from a banking perspective, like you have to be a fiduciary, right? You have a responsibility to carry out the tasks for said organization. And if you're not doing that, you know, I do think you're right, Coleman, like the courts will have to decide. But I think right now they're just tasked with, you know, I think for the American people, a lot of us are just happy to see that the, we're going the other way a little bit, and we're cutting at the very least, you're seeing people get fired. And, yeah, should maybe some of these people be thrown in prison? Sure. But I do think that that's difficult to, do at the same time, because of what you said, right? That the courts are packed, especially at the lower levels. And, if you look at it, like if you kind of step back and look at it, you start thinking, man, how much would we give back in the savings that we're getting towards attorney's fees to battle the deep state and these, and so, you know, for the public, I think I don't want to carry that out, that thought out too far, but for the public, it's probably better to throw out these ideas of, a rebate or, something like something of that. And so I guess as I look at it, I mean, yes, accountability is important, but I think it's probably even more important to set things up so that in the future, these things don't reverse themselves and we go back to where we are 10, 15 years from now.
Absolutely. I think that's what he's trying to do. I do think he's trying to root out all the rotten corruption and trying to have it start over. Because if he doesn't do it correctly in 4 years, it's a pendulum, right? It always swings back and forth. And if it swings the other way, the other side's going to come back just as furious and with just the same amount of vengeance. So it has to get done, made public, just so that people can see. You talked about, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you got a thought. Go ahead.
No, I was going to go ahead and start transitioning because you'd mentioned a rebate or a refund. And so I was going to start transitioning to the $5,000 checks they're throwing out there. But continue on this.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe it's a little risky for you as the host, but I did put something in the back channels. It might be funny to play. It's maybe only about 30, 45 seconds. But it's a video about two aliens talking about us as humans. And I think it's funny because it gives us perspective. And if you want to cue that up, I think this would be the opportune time. It's real short and quick, pretty funny. And you know, a lot of these things become memes, right? Like we have to laugh at this stuff as much as we want to, go out and burn the witches and, hold people accountable. I think, this for me was hilarious, but it's also a really good perspective for us to like look outside ourselves and, see where things have gone and hopefully where do they go in the future? So if you want to cue that up, Coleman.
Yeah, I'll cue it up right now. But we had Jeremy join the panel, so I just want to say good morning. Let me play this clip, and then we'll get your thoughts on this.
Bro, you know what's crazy to me?
What's crazy to you?
Humans have so much trust in their government.
Oh, my God.
It's actually, like, kind of sad.
It's kind of pathetic.
It is, you know, because, like, over so many years and decades of time, the government just continues to lie.
Just keep lying.
And humans are like, ooh, another lie. Yum, 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 yum. Ooh, another lie. Yum, 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 yum. Thank you for the lie. Yum, 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 yum.
It's crazy. There's receipts.
There's receipts.
There's more receipts than ever. And the people are like, yummy. Let me have some lies.
Ooh, yummy. More lies, please.
Can I get a side of lies with those lies?
Put your lies up my little human butt.
Put it in my ass.
You know, humans already have it bad with their, like, processed cheese.
Bad.
And their vegetables and food made with pesticides and poisons.
Literally. The last thing they need is people in power that they put in power coming in and saying, you get less rights.
Yeah.
You get less amnesty. You get less of your own fake money that you've earned from hard work. Why? Why less?
You know what they put in their silly little human documents?
What?
They actually gave people the power.
Yeah.
But they've given all of that power away.
Ugh.
It's wild.
It seems as though they're okay with that.
Like, should we just take over and set things right?
Soon.
Soon.
Yeah, soon.
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 Soon. Right.
All right, it's time to bring out some men.
So, yeah. They make good points with it, though, with that clip. People just don't like change, right? People don't like it. They're hesitant. They're resistant. And people are pretty easy to manipulate, and I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, many of them are just dependent too, and I think that's across the board. Is when you really build a society that's dependent on the United States government, I think We've got three million people that work for the government or something like that, right? Well, at least we did when Trump was coming in. So when you make people dependent on it, you know, you really misalign incentives. And I think that's, you know, one of the biggest pieces when you can get away with the waste, fraud, and abuse and then gaslight everybody. I think that's the other side of this. And I think this is what people need to remember, because you've got even a lot of Republicans. Marjorie Taylor Greene comes to mind. She's one of the representatives down here in Georgia, and she continues to come out and, you know, talk about the waste, fraud, and abuse. And at the same time, you know, she's one of the representatives that backed, the Speaker of the House, Johnson, when they went through with this last omnibus. And that's the problem, right? Is every time, you know, spending comes around, whether it's NDAA or omnibus, these guys get together, they capitulate, none of them read, you know, the entire, set of spending bills that they're signing. And this is what happens in perpetuity. They'll talk out of the one side of their mouth while gaslighting the American public. Like, oh, I wasn't actually part of this kind of thing, right? When in reality, their names, you can see who's voted for these. There's like one guy that doesn't vote for any of this stuff. His name's Thomas Massey. And so when you have all these guys just, you know, going around gaslighting, and what's funny is, you know, this shouldn't happen and all that kind of stuff, that kind of rhetoric coming from people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, she's already tweeting about how Donald Trump wants a single spending bill again. And it's, man, what are we talking about? Why are we doing this? Why are we not breaking this down? You know, from this point, you know, start over, guys. Like, you've got to fund the government through single subject, single page spending bills. If there was any ounce of truth and reality in this, that's what they would be doing. And, you know, obviously right now they're not. And here's the other thing. Per the Constitution, I think it's Article 1, Section 8, 7, somewhere in there. Don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere in there. The House is actually responsible for the spending. They are responsible for the purse. There is permissive language that the Senate may make amendments to that, but the House doesn't have to approve those. And there's a difference between spending bills and law. Spending bills expire at the end of every 2 years because the House of Representatives changes hands every 2 years in terms of elections. A law is permanent. So the president doesn't need to sign off on spending bills. And I think this is one of the biggest perversions and misunderstandings of our current government that they've, you know, that they've put in place and then put into motion, that continues this apparatus that, you know, thinks that, oh, hey, you know, the Senate needs to be involved and obviously the president has to sign these spending bills. They don't. The Senate can make amendments, but the president doesn't need to sign spending bills. The only thing he needs to do is sign laws, because he's the one who's responsible for enforcing those.
Another thing to look at here, Shannon Coleman, Jeremy, is just how obvious the propaganda machine has become on this. So, you know, a lot of what's coming out, if you pay attention or you're digging in, at least even really just more than surface level, is that there's people being paid on the rolls that shouldn't be, right? They're hundreds of years old. And I think there's more to it than that, but this is, I mean, a clear example of fraud, or, you know, at least waste and abuse. And so what's funny to me, and really it shouldn't be funny, is the mainstream media coming out and saying to the boomers that, look, Trump and Elon are attacking Social Security and your rights to, you know, get back what you paid in. And this is going to have a huge effect on you and your benefits, and you're going to not get benefits. And to me, I mean, that's just crazy, like that they would come out and say that, and look at who they're targeting and who they know will believe it, because they've got them, you know, in the palm of their hand. And so I think, to the rest of us, it couldn't be more obvious, the narrative that's being built around this, a moat, right, of ideas and, telling people bold-faced lies and trying to get away with it. Even though most people have, you know, voted to get rid of that garbage. And so I just think that's really another side story here, that they haven't stopped. They haven't stopped the lies, and it's despicable, but there's a lot of people who that's all they listen to, and they're going to believe it, hook, line, and sinker, regardless of the truth.
I do think, though, that we're hitting this, another turning point, and I would put it up kind of like with COVID. I think these announcements and everything brought to light is really kind of capturing a new audience. And this is kind of just another aha moment for a lot of people. So I do expect more people to start questioning everything that they're seeing on the news, and especially what they're seeing here on X and social media. I don't think it's necessarily just the algorithm I'm finding on my feed. I'm seeing a lot of people who speaking out against this, who I would never have thought would say some of the things that they're saying. So I do think that there's a new awakening taking place, and it'll be good. It's going to be painful, but I do think it's going to be good for everybody when this happens. Jeremy, we have you up here. I haven't heard from you. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just wanted to jump in. I was about what you guys were talking about earlier about some of the arrests. I think they're trying to, you know, show some of the fraud, waste, and abuse, and trying to get some of the public's backing behind these arrests before they happen. I know some of us that have kind of been following this for years already, but I was just at a town meeting last night, and you know, the select board was complaining because some of their family members work in government, and the grants are stopped, and they're upset. I wanted to say, you know, there's a $37 trillion debt, and you're on the Titanic, and you still want to dance in the ballroom. It's like the ship has to sink. I don't know. That's all I just wanted to say. I think the public might not be ready for the arrests.
No, I think you're spot on with that. And a lot of the public is not ready yet. And I think they still need to uncover more and just kind of show everybody. So we'll go ahead and start transitioning into the next thing I wanted to cover. I'm going to play another short clip. It was Donald Trump on Air Force One talking to reporters about auditing Fort Knox. So I'll play the clip really quick, and then we'll go ahead and dissect this a little bit. And I'll give you my thoughts before I ask everybody else's on this. So just give me 1 second. I'll have this clip being played.
Fort Knox to make sure the gold is there. You know that? We're going to go into Fort Knox. Do you know about that?
Sir,
that was a bad bump.
Are they going to eliminate more national security positions, civilians there?
We'll see what happens. But one of the things we do want to look, I mean, we hope everything's fine with Fort Knox, but we're going to go to Fort Knox, the fabled Fort Knox, to make sure the gold is there.
Where would the gold have gone? Brought
up? If the gold isn't there, we're going to be very upset. We're going to go.
I hope you all could hear that. I know there was a lot of background noise because it was on an airplane. But Trump stated that he wanted to audit Fort Knox and make sure that the gold is there. And if it's not there, it's going to be a big problem. I don't think that they have the gold there. I think a lot of people believe the same thing. But as an American, and the consequences of us not having the gold there, I think is pretty devastating, and it's going to be extremely crippling. So I do hope and genuinely wish that they have all the gold accounted for and there's no discrepancies. I do think that would be an extremely fast spiral downwards if there's anything fishy going on with that. And again, I do believe that there's a lot of fishiness and there's a lot of fraud in that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they only have just like a pallet with 3 bars on it. It would not surprise me, but I truly hope that that does not happen because that would be max pain scenario for America. And I think that's why you're seeing this mad scramble from London and the deliveries of gold coming into the U.S. Because they're trying to beef up some of their supplies. So Shane, Bob, Jeremy, if you have any thoughts on this, definitely want to get your take.
Coleman, I'm kind of with you, man. This thing, I don't think that the powers that are, ever thought that gold belonged to the people in the first place. I mean, evidenced by Executive Order 6102, back under FDR, right? So if that was their opinion and, you know, they've had, you know, the cover of darkness and the administrations in the past that, that want to move this stuff, then I think it was probably done. I think it's going to be interesting though. If let's just say that, you know, we're obviously not right. What if there's more gold in there than what we understand, right? Now that raises other questions. Where'd you get this? I mean, part of it's going to be from Iraq. I think a lot of everybody that's been overseas knows very well that we took all the gold out of Iraq. I imagine if there were any treasures in other places that we had access to, whether it was Libya, which Gaddafi was killed because he wanted to go to a gold standard for all of Africa and was calling out, you know, the Israelis for who they were as well. You know, it's possible that there's not only all the gold there, but there's extra gold there that is unaccounted for. And, you know, this isn't just going to be like, we're going to walk in here and go, oh yeah, it's solved, right? Like there's a real process to verification of gold. And I don't think a lot of people understand this. Like gold verification, is supposed to happen, you know, once every, I don't know exactly what the years are, but it's there's a time frame. And so this gold has to go back to a melt. It has to be, you know, basically boiled down and reconstituted and stamped with another, you know, approval. Hey, this has been off, you know, identified as 99% pure or whatever it is. And then it goes back into, you know, these holding places. And who knows if that's ever been done. But what I'm saying is whatever is there, probably needs to go under the process of that again, because there's plenty of fake, bars of gold out there that are, you know, embedded with lead and everything else. So this is not going to be an overnight thing. I think it's another, you know, headline grab. Well, thing, you know, other things are going on, but I wouldn't get too distracted by this. You're right though, Coleman. If the gold isn't there, man, hold on to your butts, because that's when the big print comes. This is the only, you know, their only weapon left against, you know, the deficit and deficit spending is now the big print. And that's great for Bitcoin, but it's going to be extremely painful for everybody who's not holding.
We have Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I believe what you're talking about, Shane, is an assay. Yeah, they have to go back and reassay the gold, which is a big, like you said, a big process. It's not like you can buy a home test kit. I'll disagree on the effect of whether or not this is going to, that this is going to have a big effect on anything in the economy. Just because we're on the petrodollar. We're not on the gold standard. It might have a minimal shock in the short term, but people are just going to see it as just another raid of like the Social Security Administration. Like I don't believe that this is going to have any major lasting effect on our economy. Other countries will still have to sell cheap products to the U.S. to obtain energy so they can have, you know, lights at night so their kids can do homework. It's going to be really interesting and it's going to show exactly what the weaknesses of gold, but as far as having any effect on the economy, I don't see it. It may be short term, something small, but we're not going to see a 40% drawdown or anything.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think what I'll say is two things. I do think that the gold market could become disorderly. I also think that the credit rating of the United States could get, could change, to the negative, even though it's, you know, only a small portion of what our assets are. And also like it doesn't back up the dollar anymore. You know, this is something that sits on the Fed's balance sheet. And so it could hamper our ability, you know, it's really just this confidence game, right? So it could hamper our ability to borrow money. So I think, first the gold market would become disorderly and then the bond market would react. And I think that is probably the bigger, news. And, who knows if it would be sustained. But I do think that, I'll just disagree with you and say that I think that there would be some impacts. Maybe not for the long term, but certainly in the short term, it would really, just be another, peg in the board for confidence in lending money to the United States.
I agree with you, Bob, as well, especially when you see all the missing money, like they can't find these payments in the Treasury Department. You're seeing just the slew of fraud taking place. I think this would just be the last straw on the camel's back. Wade, I hope you're right. Cause again, I don't think that they have the gold at Fort Knox. I hope you're right that it would just be very temporary, just, you know, a quick down and back up. But I have a hard time seeing that play out that way. I think that would just shake a lot of confidence in the market. No one would trust us.
Yeah, I look at it the other way though too, guys, and maybe just a thought experiment for us. What if there was more gold in Fort Knox than everybody thought because of all of these wars that we've been fighting? Proxy wars and all kinds of other things all over the world where there were gold reserves, like in Iraq in 2003. There was tons of gold there. What if that somehow made its way back to Fort Knox? And really the implication is not so much that, hey, you don't have the gold and you're caught with your pants down. You have more gold than anybody ever knew. And this was just one other asset that we were, sorry to say the term, raping other countries with, aside from gold, or I'm sorry, aside from oil and other assets, we were actually taking the gold. So I'm saying that's probable. I'm just saying what if, and I think that's worth a discussion as well, because I think it would be surprising to a lot of people and interesting as to how the markets would react to that, knowing that we've already been not trusting the government for a multitude of reasons. And now to see like, hey, this is one of the, side things that occurred, from all these endless wars that we've been fighting for the last, you know, 60 years.
Man, I think that scenario is probably worse if they have excess gold and they come out and say that they confiscated it. I would equate that with like the SWIFT system, right? We kicked off our enemies from the SWIFT system. They couldn't use it. And now if our enemies knew that if anytime we go to war, we're raiding their treasuries and we're taking their gold, I think it would just make less people want to interact with the United States. Again, I think if it's not down to the ounce of the exact number, I think it spells chaos for United States. I think everybody knows United States is bankrupt. They don't have the money. They can't pay off this debt without doing something crazy. So not having the gold is kind of, yeah, we knew this, but having extra and saying that we confiscated it from these countries, I think it just shows that how corrupt we really are and we really will stoop to any level. That's my thought on it.
So what would it do though? So you have the U.S. has the petrodollar, the global reserve currency. So all other nations then, they still have to get the petrodollar to have energy, or they still need to have the dollar in reserves. So they have alternatives, but what are the alternatives? The alternatives haven't changed, you know, and the BRIC nations are getting a lot weaker under the Trump administration. So you're looking at whether or not they're going to use the ruble or the yuan. So they still need to park their money somewhere. So they're going to buy U.S. treasuries or Bitcoin, you know, our hope is Bitcoin, but have they come far enough along to understand it? I don't think they're going to be any further along one day later than they are today. Will it shake confidence? Yeah, but will it have any effect? I don't see the effect. If there's more, I don't see there being more because they didn't have to endure an audit. Therefore, if they would have acquired gold over time, I think that would have been something they would have wanted to brag about. Any gold confiscated from other nations, I'm sure went to other nations and other central banks. I'll drop 10,000 sats on a bet that, you know, the lasting effect lasts about 1 to 2 months tops.
I have a question for you guys, and Bob, you might be, you know, the guy that has the best answer here. or be in the best position to answer it is what happens, you know, they audit it. We actually come up with, you know, whatever the number is and, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. We get a revaluation of gold. That revaluation of gold, you know, in terms of a, you know, a dollar to gold parity, if it's, you know, off significantly of what it is now and sends, just say, prices of gold through the absolute roof, what does that do and what does it do to Bitcoin?
Amfred,
go ahead. And I'm happy to jump in, but would love to hear Amfred's thoughts on.
Hey guys. Yeah. Good morning. Yeah. If they revalued it, to market, if they just marked it to the current market price, it would deposit, I think, 600, 700 billion into the TGA, of essentially kind of new money units. So it,
really
you
quick
know,
effort. And then, yeah. Just explain to everybody that it's not marked to market right now.
Correct. Yeah. Currently it's marked at a statutory price of $42, even though it's trading close to 3000. It's marked at 42. So I think that's, I did the math earlier. That is 10 billion, about $11 billion, technically. Now, obviously, if we marked it to market, that's about $780 billion. So that, you know, the difference between $770 billion would basically be deposited into the TGA, you know, basically free money, right? But it's new money being spent out into the system. So it would be pretty inflationary. Now, I think what the question was marking up gold. Right. Saying we, the U.S. government, are valuing gold at 10,000 an ounce, 20,000. Now what that would, you don't get to just say that. Well, you can, but you look like an idiot unless you're willing to actually buy any and all gold sold on the free market at that price or, you know, below. So if they come out and they say, you know, okay, we're marking it to $10,000 an ounce and mark up the gold value, they would need to be willing to basically print the money to buy gold, anytime it dipped below 10,000. It would be similar to the way currencies sometimes are pegged, where the central bank will use foreign exchange reserves, to keep their currency at a very, very specific, particular level. This is ironically how Bessent, made a bunch of his money. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, is when those pegs, this was common back in the like 60s, 70s, 80s, currency pegs. And because, you know, the currency's, you know, stuck at one level for, you know, a year or two or three, it doesn't really move. When it does move, it moves very, very violently. And so he made a lot of his money, when the Deutschmark peg broke, as well as the famous, British pound, when they took on the Bank of England, Soros, Bessent, and Druckenmiller, I think were all involved with that trade. And they basically called the bluff on the central bank and said, you know, we don't think you have the ability to keep this, you know, to keep coming up with the money to, you know, buy the pound at this level. And they bet against it and, made a ton of money. And the reason you can make a ton of money is because the implied volatility of those kind of options on currencies, the implied volatility, if something's going straight and never moving, the implied volatility is like basically zero. So kind of the opposite of MSTR, or, you know, Bitcoin or something that's super volatile. And so, you know, the market's pricing in barely any movement. So then, you know, not only is the break of the peg very violent, so you get a big move, but the implied volatility skyrockets, which juices the value of the options you hold. So you know, it's possible. I just think, you know, Luke Gromen deserves credit, a lot of credit, in my opinion, for he's been talking about this stuff for at least a year. And you know, now it's kind of, you got it being the same things he was saying a year ago are now being discussed, you know, very openly on Bloomberg TV, You know, I watched the interview earlier with Bissent. You know, in mainstream circles by very reputable people. I mean, the sitting Treasury Secretary, you know, is talking about this plan that, that Grohman proposed, you know, over a year ago. So I think Luke Grohman deserves a ton of respect. And if anyone listening does not follow him, I would highly recommend it. But it would be very inflationary in my opinion. And I just don't see a need for them to do something like that. I think it's too drastic, and I just don't see an acute need for that. Now, if yields, you know, if yields, if we wake up tomorrow and the 10-year's up 200 basis points or something crazy, and we get a you know, credit crisis or kind of a repo rate spike, something like that, then I could see kind of, it's almost like we would need a precipitating event, I think, in my opinion, for them to do something dramatic, like, you know, mark gold up to 10, 20K. Otherwise, I think it's not the direction they're indicating.
I have a question for you, Infra. What happens, because I know that the, I forget, there's that account that's draining down. It's like 200 billion.
TGA?
Yeah, the TGA.
Oh, the reverse repo.
Yeah, sorry, the reverse repo. What happens when that gets down a little bit lower? Is that going to cause any issues?
So yeah, I actually just did an article on this. I think it's coming out this morning, with, Bitcoin News. I'll see if I can find it, but, yeah, basically the RRP, like I know we've seen kind of quite a bit of doom posting, about that. I don't think it's really that notable. Now, of course, that money was basically sterilized QE, sterilized excess money that was printed. And it was certainly, you know, good bit of money, $2 trillion at the peak. So, you know, that's a fair bit of, money, liquidity. And that has, you know, gradually been kind of draining out the system. I would say, you know, it doesn't seem from an aggregate, you know, liquidity is not just any one program. You can't just look at the TGA or just at the Fed balance sheet or just at the RRP. You kind of have to look at liquidity in aggregate kind of way. And the measure I use, which is Fed balance sheet minus RRP minus TGA, that is sideways. So even accounting for this drain in the RRP, it's been flat as a pancake, consolidating, and looking like it wants to make a move. You know, obviously you can't trade an aggregate liquidity. You know, it's not a free, you know, it's not market to trade, but it looks, you know, as a trader, it looks like it does want to make kind of a big move. I would point out that TGA is kind of, I think, what I'm focused on more. TGA has, I think, 800 billion. And that, you know, can be, if that's spent into the economy, 800 billion is, you know, a fair bit of money. And so I would watch, I think a lot of the RRP stuff, is a bit overblown. I would watch more, the Treasury General account, because that also, is kind of at the discretion of Scott Bissent. You know, that is, they don't need, you know, that's kind of money in a, just sitting in a checking account that's ready to be spent if they want it to. So I would watch a Treasury General account if they spend a lot of that money out into the system. But it's pretty clear that, you know, from his interview this morning, it's pretty clear that they are really trying hard to, not have inflation. And so I, you know, spend it, if they were to spend down the TGA, that'd be very positive for liquidity, probably negative for the dollar. So, you know, you have the dollar down at 106, 107, which isn't, I don't think, causing too much stress. You have inflation that's kind of sticky, you know, 3.5%. So I think we're probably going to see from a liquidity standpoint, just kind of more of the same, consolidation for a while. you know, despite what the chart looks like it wants to do, I think from a policy standpoint, they don't want to spend down the TGA dramatically. The dollar's already come off its high, so there's really no like dollar stress. They clearly, for good reason, are pretty focused on inflation and making sure that inflation does not reaccelerate. So I focus on the TGA.
Well, thank you very much for that clarification. I do want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Use the code BTCVETS if you're a veteran for 5% off. And if you pay with Bitcoin, there's an additional 10% off. So potential 15% off your order, solosatoshi.com. Punch plate. Stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Go to punchplate.com. And Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th in Juneau. Family-friendly conference. Bring your spouse, bring your children, bring your in-laws. Make a vacation out of it. Pre-conference activities take place on July 1st, and the conference wraps up on July 6th. This is the only conference where you buy a whale pass. You'll be able to go on a cruise to the fjords and see actual whales. So go to bitcoinalaska.org to secure your tickets and lodging today. And last but not least, I always say treat your Bitcoin as if it's worth 10 times the amount it is right now. The way you secure that is with a Cold Card hardware wallet. Get the MK4 or the Cold Card Q. Use our link up in the nest. Get a little bit more traction. We can start offering a unique discount for our listeners. So again, use our link up in the nest, or you can click on my profile. It's the top pinned tweet. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to cover with this, or do you want to go ahead and start changing gears?
I think changing gears from here would be good.
Okay. Do we want to go ahead and start talking about how, not Scott Bessent, Howard Lutnick went on Fox News and said Trump's goal is to abolish the IRS? I don't think anybody likes paying taxes, so we'll go ahead and roll into that. It's about a 50-second clip I have right here. I'm going to go ahead and play it. And this is Howard Lutnick talking about Trump abolishing the IRS.
Trump announced the Internal Revenue Service, and his goal is very simple, to abolish. His goal is to abolish the Internal Revenue Service and let all the outsiders pay. I mean, this is someone who is focused on America. Let's drive down our waste, fraud, and abuse. I'll give you an example. Cruise ships. You ever see a cruise ship with an American flag on the back? They have flags of like Liberia or Panama. None of them pay taxes. None of them pay taxes. Every super tanker, none pays taxes. Alcohol, all foreign alcohol, no taxes. This is going to end under Donald Trump, and those taxes are going to be paid, and Americans' tax rates are going to come down. That's what Donald Trump wants to do, balance our budget and cut our taxes. I mean, imagine a Democratic senator going against that. What planet are these people on?
Well, I hope that he does abolish the IRS. And I think with his sweeping tax reform he wants to do, or not tax reform, tariffs. And Scott Bessent has mentioned that he would like to go ahead and start incorporating a steady monthly tariff increase. I think it was at about 0.5%, maybe 1%. I forget what it was. But he wants to continue to increase it every single month at that same rate. I think with everything being shown with the fraud in the IRS and these payments and everything going on, the fact that the IRS is going to be getting to lay off around 6,000 employees today, I think this has a little traction, and I would like to see the IRS abolished and just go with a universal tariff or some kind of just everyone has to pay tax on everything. It's going to cause a lot of pain in the beginning of the short term, but once people have more net take-home pay, because it will be cheaper in the end, it'll be able to increase the revenue that we generate as the country. And again, if you don't want to it'll incentivize you to save because you'll have more money that you're getting every single time you get paid. And if you don't want to pay the tax, just don't buy something that you don't need. So I really hope that this continues to grow, and I hope that he does abolish the IRS. And I would like to see a tax holiday, this April, with all the nonsense that's been going on. It looks like Jeremy raised his hand, so I'm going to throw it to you, sir.
Sure. I want to say, if there's anybody, probably not in this audience, that's against this, you got to think about Amazon, the Apple Store, eBay even. You have to pay them quite a bit of money to sell products on their platforms because they have all the eyes. It's no different than different countries, or like he said, cruise lines wanting to sell in the U.S. We have, you know, we have the largest economy. You should pay. There should be a tariff for doing business here. And then on top of that, get rid of the IRS and the April, you know, the tax burden that all us Americans have and us business owners have. We can actually make decisions that benefit the business organically, not just make decisions at the end of the year that we need to do things to lower our tax burden and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be if it goes through, I think it's going to be a positive all the way around.
So I'm definitely not against it, but I think the studies show that, you know, if you shift to a consumption tax, or, you know, in a lot of countries, you have a VAT tax, it does harm the, you know, lower income earners, because now they're paying taxes that they otherwise wouldn't have. So I think there has to be some sort of mitigation for that. I'm not against it. I think it's a great idea. And I think you're right, Coleman, in the short term, it'd be a little bit of pain, for people, but overall a net good, especially when you see the burdensome, tax code that we have. I wonder if it applies, you know, beyond individuals, like would this be something that would apply to large businesses? I think there's a lot to work out here. And so all I'll say is, I guess I'm optimistic, because I do think you're right, Coleman, based on everything we see, there's a groundswell of support for this, but I do wonder, how they would work out some of these finer details, to protect people. 'Cause, you know, we don't want the lower income earners getting crapped on even worse and having them revolt. We don't want societal unrest when you think, hey, this is great, we're getting rid of the IRS, and now you have people who already are looking at the cost of everything soaring and saying, oh, now you're just going to add insult to injury and put a consumption tax on everything.
You bring up a very interesting point with that, Bob. I don't know the workaround on that, other than having some kind of rebate, I guess, if you're underneath a certain threshold, but that could be construed almost as like a UBI for lower income individuals. So there's definitely some stuff. And again, I've said it, I'm a Marine, I'm a crayon eater, so this is way above my pay grade. But I do think that there's definitely some momentum going for abolishing the IRS, and it'll be nice when it happens. I don't know what the odds are in Polymarket, but I would imagine that they're probably growing every day.
Yeah, I think, and if I can change just real quick on that, I think that this does open up the door for a CBDC eventually, like, to mitigate this, because then you basically have, you know, a UBI style, compensation for people. And then you also have a central bank digital currency that is programmable, and you have then people who, are exempt from the tax right at the register, because of how the money that they're using is coded. I'm not a proponent of that, but I'm just telling you, I can see where this would potentially open up the door at some point. And so curious to hear other people's thoughts.
You know, this is interesting, because I think, you know, they're deft enough to understand that, you know, read the room right now. America is done, in terms of the waste and fraud and abuse that they're seeing, that's coming out more and more every day by the billions, if not hundreds of billions. that they're seeing wasted. There are a lot of people. I'm going to be one of them. I'm not paying these guys another cent. I'm done. Like this is, this is not tax advice. This is not monetary advice. This is the way I'm going. I'm going to file my extension in hopes that this thing goes away. And I mean that, wholeheartedly. Like, the IRS has been such a bane on the American economy and Americans themselves. And it's really, it's used as a way to oppress and enslave Americans. That's all it is. They don't need your tax money. They can literally print money out of thin air. The complexity, the inefficiency, there was a great, couple books back in the day by, Neil Bortz, and, what they get right in terms of the fair tax and answering the critics on the fair tax. I am not a proponent of the fair tax. I was a proponent of the fair tax a long time ago. I met the people, that were kind of behind it and pushing it, whether it was here in Georgia or at the DC level, a lot of them were the same. That one of the guys I actually ran against in 2018 was the original author of the bill up there. And so when I saw these guys up close and personal, I was like, oh man, this could go bad as well. So when you hear people start floating the fair tax, like, no, like there's no such thing as a fair tax, ladies and gents, first and foremost. So let's not go that route. But in terms of, the complexity and inefficiency that the IRS has created, the mountains and mountains and mountains of wasted hours, wasted resources, and just overall waste that they make for the average American, and then create entire industries that are built on waste, fraud, and abuse. When at the end of the day, it would be as simple as the IRS, mailing you a postcard saying, this is what you owe this year. And if you've already overpaid that, well, then here's your check. Like this idea that Americans need to sign a line and guess at a number in terms of paying the federal government. And then also to have this, intrusive overreach and really the weaponization, right? And if anybody remembers, I think it was John Costigan and Lois Lerner back during the Barack Obama administration that got caught targeting certain groups. Like you're literally a weaponized institution that is going after people and destroying their lives and taking their property on the basis that
Is it just me or can anybody else not hear Shane?
No, I think he got rugged.
The Democrats rugged him.
The IRS, yep, they heard it. They cut him off. Shane, if you can hear us, we can hear you, sir. But it looks like we have, Jeremy, I don't know if your hand's still stuck up, but we have Free Dom that has his hand up as well. So just good morning, sir.
I'll go ahead and go real quick. Also lost what Shane was saying, but he was kind of complaining on the fair tax. And I was just wanting to comment that the fair tax plan, which was a national consumption tax, had a prebate to the poverty level for all individuals, which didn't quite understand how that would work back in the day. But after COVID, people were able to get checks. I guess that would be one of the concerns, and also heard how that could maybe trigger UBI. But every time somebody brings up UBI, I always say, well, let's do the national fair tax then, because having a consumption tax with a prebate to the poverty level, and then everything after that is not taxed, right? No income tax, no no other death tax, whatever, capital gains tax, all of that being gone, that'd be great. So anyway, if he comes back,
hey, Free Dom, can you hear me?
Why he didn't think that was a good idea. Yeah.
Hey, can anybody hear me? I think my speakers are going all crazy.
Yeah, I think Freedom has a bad connection. Sorry, we lost about the last 15 seconds of that. Freedom.
So I was just thinking about this, and one of the things I was thinking about having just a threshold for to being excluded from this. And Terrence, we have you out in the audience. If you want to come up here, sir, go ahead and request to come up here. I'd like to bring you on the stage. It even if you have a threshold for lower income people, as a business, you can do a lot of write-offs and you can make your income look as high or as low as you want to. So that would be one of the concerns that I would have with that is just, I understand that the lower class would definitely have to pay more. But it's one of those things I don't see a way to effectively do that, and allow them to go ahead and kind of get a rebate, without allowing other corporations or experts, within the loopholes to go ahead and take advantage of that or exploit it.
Yeah, I think this is where Bitcoin really comes into play, and you know, maybe a good way to wrap a bow on this. And sorry, I cut out earlier. The power went out. I don't know if it was those guys out there or not that just didn't want to hear that. But, you know, if we don't remove the IRS and at the same time go to a sound money, you know, in terms of Bitcoin, then this is much harder. You know, if we go to Bitcoin, this makes an inflationary economy, a deflationary economy, over time. This is going to work out, you know, obviously for anybody and everybody that adopts Bitcoin. And that's just math, at this point. If we go the other route where we, you know, get rid of the IRS and stay with an inflationary monetary supply, that's obviously extremely problematic, especially for the poor. But I think if you're doing these in unison, I think this is where people really understand how powerful Bitcoin is, and they start to see the hope on the horizon again, instead of these, you know, these really, really dark days that, you know, I think have been upon us for quite some time.
Yeah, I think you're correct with that. I think, again, there's that saying, Bitcoin fixes this. Bitcoin does fix the situation that we're in. I don't think anybody's ever said it's going to be a smooth ride, and it won't be painless. But unfortunately, for any type of growth, there has to be some sort of pain. So I think the faster that we can go ahead and start transitioning to this, the better it's going to be for everybody. And that starts with you. That starts with everybody who's listening to this. The change that we want doesn't go from the top up. It's bottom down. It's proof of work. That's what Bitcoin is. It requires us to go talk to our friends, our neighbors, our local officials, our local businesses. And that's how we onboard the nation again. If we do it from the top down, it's not going to work. And I will use El Salvador as that example. They started Bitcoin adoption from the top down. And once the citizens had an opportunity to escape from it, a lot of them aren't transacting with it anymore. And it's unfortunate. They didn't do the proof of work. They were kind of thrown into a proof of stake, system. And because of that, the people that are abandoning it and going to go to something else are going to be the ones that lag behind, and the businesses and the individuals that continue the Bitcoin standard are going to continue to grow and achieve more success at a faster rate. So we want to make this, it starts with all of you. And yes, you can do it. You don't have to onboard 1,000 people. You just have to onboard one. That is all you have to do. And then that is their goal as well, whoever you onboard. And it's a small ripple effect. So that should be everybody's goal. But we are at the top of the hour, so I just want to have everybody get a last chance to share their thoughts or opinions, if you have any. Shane, Infra, Bob, or Jeremy.
Just wanted to say I'm glad to be back. I had a couple days off, and yes, it may seem like there's a slow news cycle going on right now just because we're all amped up from the crazy news cycle that we had, you know, after the first 4 weeks of the new administration. But, there's lots of things going on, behind the scenes that, you know, we all don't see and aren't reported on. And, it's great that we have this, medium to find out from independent, truly independent people that you can follow. And so I'd encourage you to follow everybody up here on stage. And, like Coleman has said many times, Please, if you need help with your Bitcoin journey, get plugged in at bitcoinveterans.org. Great resources, great back channels, honest, good, hardworking people that you can trust to lead you on your journey. So thanks again. Glad to be back. Looking forward to doing this again tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Bob. I'm glad you're able to do it. And I understand life. Everyone has life. And so it's understandable. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was out actually orange filling some organizations, and happy to share maybe a little bit about that tomorrow. Some exciting people I'm getting in front of that maybe folks haven't thought of as potential adopters of Bitcoin. And so we're having some good conversations on how those how Bitcoin could affect their organization. And I think people in this space might be interested, if we have time, would be happy to share, especially if the slow news continues. So, that's what I was doing. I wasn't off like gallivanting and playing around. I was in the cold and, meeting with folks who, could really use Bitcoin and, would be happy to share, like I said. So
yeah, I put it down in my notes. So we'll definitely spend some time on that tomorrow. Appreciate the hard work that you do and everybody else does. And so that's how I'm going to wrap up the show, everybody. Again, thank you for everybody who tuned in, everybody who's listening, everyone who participated up here in the panel, Jeremy and Free Dom. I'm glad you guys came up here. Infra, it's always great to have you on here. And same with Shane and Bob. I really do appreciate you guys coming on here as well. And if you're in the audience and you want to come up next time, feel free to. As you can tell, we're very laid back, very easygoing. Just two simple rules, no shit coining. And just be respectful of everybody. But I love talking to people. And so please feel free to come up. And if you're shy, utilize that chat box down the bottom. We do this every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Tomorrow, again, we're just going to cover more news. We don't have any speakers. We'll get some speakers lined up for next week. And so we'll keep you posted with that. But other than that, that's all I have for you. Please go out there. If you're in a cold area, stay warm. Go do some calisthenics to warm up. And just don't shitcoin. It's like trying to put a screen door on a submarine.